Let's pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your holy word. And we thank You, Lord, for Your Holy Spirit's guidance as we approach Your word. So we pray, Heavenly Father, that as we come to Your word this morning, Your Holy Spirit will be here present with us, that You'll actually guide the words that cross these feeble lips. So we hear from You, Lord. Open our ears to hear what You have for us, Lord. In Jesus' precious name, amen. So I was reading along in Not a Fan, Kyle Eidelman's book, and his work with Matthew chapter 7 started to bother me. Because as he worked with chapter 7, he gets to that last part where Jesus says, "I don't know you." And you know how my brain works. Maybe you don't know how my brain works. Immediately, Psalm 139 came into my head because one of the gentlemen in my small group actually memorized the entirety of Psalm 139. And in a time when there was a crisis in his family, a health crisis, he, for our small group, recited Psalm 139. So it was in my head. And then I come to this passage and it says, "I tell you plainly," verse 23 of chapter 7 of Matthew, "I never knew you. Away from Me, you evildoers." So when Kyle starts to bring that conversation into being, that Psalm 139 came to my head. Because Psalm 139 makes it very clear that God knows us. He knows our coming. He knows our going. He perceives our thoughts from afar. He's familiar with all of our ways. And before a word is on our tongue, He knows it. He knows it. That word yada, that word for know in the Hebrew, is an intimate knowing. It's not just a little bit knowing. It's knowing the heart. It's knowing the intention. It's a kinship of knowing. So how well do you know Jesus? I mean, how well do you know Jesus? Do you know His shoe size? Do you know if He liked vegetables? I mean, it talks about bread an awful lot and a couple fish, but do we know if He liked vegetables? I don't see any passage that talks about Jesus eating vegetables. That's obvious. Some of you know me. There was this celebrating the 60th anniversary of one of our grandparents. And the story was brought out that when Grandpa and Grandma were recording, Grandma made a blueberry pie and gave it to Grandpa. And Grandpa proceeded to say, "This is really good blueberry pie." So Grandma proceeded to have blueberry pie for Grandpa on a regular basis. Now the story goes that about a year into the marriage, Grandpa finally told Grandma he doesn't like blueberries. After that, there were no more blueberry pies for Grandpa. But it's a way of explaining this concept of how much do we really know. I mean, we can grow in our relationships with our loved ones around us, our spouses, our parents, our children. But how much do we really know about them? Unless we're really close and really listening well, and the relationship we have with them is actually a growing, dynamic relationship. There is a knowledge of Jesus. And there is becoming so close to Jesus that we know what He wants. And we know what it takes to please Him. And we know that it takes precedence over anything else. Do you know Jesus well enough to know what He wants you to do? And we ask that of young people all the time. Do you know what Jesus wants you to do in your life? And they're going, I don't even know what I want to do in my life, let alone know what Jesus wants me to do in my life. But it's important for you guys. I'm just going to translate it across the pews and say, brothers and sisters, it's important for us to know what Jesus wants us to do. It's important for us to get to know the heart of Jesus. What extent we're willing to serve Him or go out of our way for Him. And that's not the end of it. Go to Matthew chapter 7, if you haven't already opened your Bibles to that. And it'll probably, I think I've got it on this for the screen. This passage that Kyle's pointing to is pretty distinct, sort of disturbing. Chapter 7, verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will say, and this is Jesus saying, I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. And that last word gives us a clue of the depth of this. I mean, we can know Jesus, and from His Word, we can get His intention. We sort of can guide our steps just by Scripture alone. But I don't know if any of you have the King James in front of you. It actually gives us a little bit of a better handle than the newer translations. But it says, workers of iniquity. You workers of iniquity. If you would take the Sermon on the Mount, flip back a page in Matthew, you'll see that Jesus is calling us to a higher level. It's no longer law that guides, but it's something greater. He talks about this, blessed are the poor in spirit, theirs will be the kingdom of God. And the Beatitudes seem to start bringing out something different than just keeping the do's and don'ts. Then he goes down, and by the time he gets to verse 21 of chapter 5, he raises hate to the level of murder. Whoa. It's no longer the deed that is the sin, but it's the thought behind it, the intention behind it. Look what he does with adultery. Look what he does with divorce oaths, eye for eye, tooth for tooth. Love your enemies. Do good to those. Love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. That changes the intention, doesn't it? You see, that iniquity piece that Jesus is trying to point to is the fact that it's not only, we talked about sin not long ago, as being missing the mark, as if we had a goal out here, marksman, arrow guys. Target, thank you. It's no longer a store. A target. Sin is missing the target, missing the mark. But what Jesus is pointing to here is, do we even have an intention of getting there? Is there a little twist to the way we're living our life? You know, a question that came to me after I was talked to this last week about the reason I didn't say, I said a lie. What was behind that? And I had to go back because of this scripture and say, was there an iniquity in me? Is there something else? I mean, I knew what I wanted to say. I knew what I intended to say. Why didn't it come across the pulpit? Was there an iniquity behind it? Did my pride maybe get in the way and I didn't want to admit that I wasn't even offered the job? That's iniquity. That's iniquity. And that's what Jesus is starting to get to in this scripture. What's our intention? As we go through life and we're trying to guide our lives and be in touch with what Jesus wants us to do, do we know Jesus? Do Do we know His intention for our lives and how we intend to follow Him? I'm just really glad that we grow into it. I'm glad that we grow in this relationship to Jesus Christ. And basically, that's what we're talking about this morning. Growing in our knowledge of Jesus Christ. Any of us who are married probably know more about our spouse today than we did when we were dating, right? I got confirmation on that one. And you guys that start dating, you'll get to know people in that process. No, okay. Got some guys that aren't going to do that. We ought to talk about this later. But we grow in our relationship. We're growing in our relationship as a congregation, as brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, as we rub shoulders with each other. We're growing in our knowledge of one another. We begin to understand each other's heart. We begin to understand each other's intentions. And we know when we're beginning to miss the mark. What's interesting is our salvation is not only saying that we know Jesus. It's part of it because we need to make that declaration. But it's connecting our heart with Jesus. It's connecting our intentions with Jesus. Living out the heart of Jesus in our lives is really being a Christian. It's knowing Jesus. So I'd like to even drive that home a little farther by going to another passage where Jesus says much the same thing. In Matthew 25, He talks about this bunch of people who seem to not know that they didn't know. And so there's a group that God separates to one side and He blesses them and say, boy, you guys did a good job. You know, you really got the message. And He says to them one thing, but this other group, He says, and they will answer on that day, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you? When did we see this? We didn't see this. We didn't know. We didn't know. He replied, verse 45, I tell you the truth. Whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. Then they will go to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. One of the troubling things about that scripture often is the fact that how do we know? And basically I'm saying it starts here. Those folks in chapter 7 were prophesying in Jesus' name. They were driving out demons in Jesus' name. They were performing miracles in Jesus' name. Now, we don't do a lot of that these days. But folks, they were doing it in Jesus' name, and Jesus is saying, hey, you, dude, I don't know you. I don't think there's anything that can hit a soul harder than for Jesus to say, I'm sorry, I don't know you. I was in a situation not long ago where I was meeting someone that I actually went to seminary with. We spent 2 years in the same school together. And I was meeting them, and I got that, I was greeting him like old friends, you know. And I got that deer in the headlight look. Do I know you? I can't imagine getting that look from Jesus. I don't know you. I don't know you. I think we need to realize that this relationship that we have with Jesus Christ, this knowing, needs to be a growing, dynamic relationship that we work on, that we build up, that we invest in, that we make so much a part of our lives that there's not a whole lot of room for other things, that it orders our steps. And we ask the question, so Jesus, should I be doing this? Jesus, where would you have me go? Jesus, what would you have me do? And it may mean a change of vocation. It may mean a change of priorities in your life. But that's what Jesus is doing in our lives. Jesus, if given half a chance, will transform your life. If you give Jesus priority, He will change who you are. Words alone do not completely reflect how much you know Jesus. You can say, "Lord, Lord," all day. The why we do what we do illustrates who our Lord really is. Our intentions, the why behind our actions, often will speak volumes about where our heart really is. Jesus is saying that knowing Him has eternal benefits. That growing in this relationship with Him will have eternal payback. But if you're not willing to know Jesus, if you're not willing to surrender to Him, not knowing Jesus also has eternal consequences. So I pray that in this coming week, as you get a break from this series, that you'll be thinking about, so, how do I know Jesus? Have I known Jesus? How well do I know Jesus? Ask Him if He likes vegetables. But do what it takes to get your life before Jesus and ask the question, so Lord, do we know each other? Do you know Jesus? Do you know Him? Let's pray. Loving Heavenly Father, merciful Almighty God, we thank You. We thank You for Your holy word. We thank You that it doesn't always allow us to sit by comfortably. Because to know You, Lord, to know Jesus, often nudges us to do things that we're not comfortable with. We acknowledge that. So, Lord, we lay our lives before You. Help us to know You better, Lord. Lord Jesus, give us a peace as we go into this coming week, as we reflect on how well we know You. A peace that will allow us to grow in You, Lord, that will beckon us forward in our relationship. And Lord, a peace that will make us live differently because we know You. Let it be so, Lord. Amen.